A statuesque woman wearing a long white robe and a blue sash stands on a raised plinth before a cloudy sky and holds a light aloft. Columbia, a Sony Pictures entertainment company. A bright light fills the screen. As the light spins round, it transforms into the letter S. Underneath it are the words, Screen Gems, a Sony Pictures entertainment company. A tropical mountain range with clouds hovering. Contour lines are superimposed on its plane as grid reference lines sweep across the screen to reveal the words, Screen Gems present A Middle Fork Productions, a film by Dwight Little. Anacondas, The Hunt for the Blood Orchid. Starring Johnny Mesland, Katie Strickland, Matthew Marsden, Eugene Bird, Sally Richardson-Whitfield, Nicholas Gonzalez, Carl Yoon, Dennis Arndt, and Morris Chestnut. Several native tribesmen with distinctive black markings on their bodies and faces dodge behind trees as a tiger stalks through the jungle. The fleshy, furry paws of the tiger pad across the jungle floor. The tribesmen, cupping their hands by their mouths, call to each other. Brightly coloured birds flee the trees. A strange monkey yowls. The tiger's eyes are wide as the tribesman looks about him perturbed. The tiger leaps over the head of the crouching tribesman. He runs from a beast that heads towards him. He runs swiftly through the dense undergrowth, looking about him as he goes. Suddenly, he's lifted several feet into the air. He stabs twice at the scaly skin that holds him and is dropped to the floor. He runs through the jungle, so scared he hurtles off a cliff. Coming up for air, he swims to the side of the pool and reaches for a vine. It snaps. A large snake is in the water. Grasping for a vine, he's pulled under. As the body of the huge snake travels through the water, it drags the man down with it. After one last desperate flail, he is no more, as the pool swallows him up. This film is directed by Dwight Little. The busy, thronged streets of a sunlit New York City. In a skyscraper, a meeting is in progress. One man stands looking thoughtful.
You've sold us a bill of goods, Gordon. You've promised us new drugs to fight everything from the common cold to cancer.
And we'll deliver everything that we promised.
I'm sorry, Gordon, but the adventure is over. We're exercising our option to liquidate Byron and Mitchell Research Limited.
A bespectacled man.
Jack, show these people how filthy rich we're going to make them, please.
Gordon, I don't think you understand what I just said.
Oh, I think I understand.
Gordon, determined, stares at the chairman.
Jack.
Jack dims the lights. A photograph of a flower appears on a screen.
Perennia immortalis, the blood orchid. First described in 1892 by Houghton, the last person to see it until our exploratory team brought a sample back from Borneo. The blood orchid lies dormant for 7 years and then blooms for just 6 months.
Which means we just got lucky as hell, gentlemen.
I don't suppose anyone here is familiar with the Hayflick limit?
Hayflick proposed that a cell could only replicate 56 times before it died from a buildup of toxins. According to him, it's the reason that we die.
But what if we could transcend that limit?
That would be impossible.
Not according to our data. Our research indicates the presence of a chemical in Perennia immortalis that can significantly prolong cellular life.
I can't support this.
Does that mean what I think it means?
Are we talking about a pharmaceutical equivalent to the Fountain of Youth?
Exactly.
To be bigger than Viagra.
To put this into human trials?
We can't, yet. Our sample was degraded in the initial study. We need more of the orchid.
See, and that's our only problem, gentlemen. That orchid is only in bloom for another 2 weeks.
The chairman's colleagues all look to him, his face composed. He nods.
Well, what the hell are you waiting for? Get your asses down to Borneo.
The smart businesswoman's not happy. Padrang Province, Borneo. Vast mountainous terrain with peaks piercing the clouds, every inch covered with dense green undergrowth. In a small chaotic harbour with shacks along the quay, men rush about under the rain, loading and unloading from boats. As a brown Mercedes pulls up in the rain, a cagoured figure runs along the pier to meet the woman who has got out of the car. It's the smart businesswoman from New York.
Welcome to Borneo!
Thanks!
He shepherds her to a shelter. Gordon's there too.
What's wrong with this picture?
I don't know. Let me see. You're in it?
We don't have a boat, okay? Your company's had one responsibility, to get a boat, and you've already managed to screw it up.
Wait a minute. Your girl chartered the boat, not us.
No. Sam confirmed with the company last night. They're still waiting for your payment.
Hey, I've got something. Payment cleared. Really?
Where's the boat?
It's not coming. All the charter companies have shut down. No one will risk going upriver until after the rainy season.
And when's that?
2-3 weeks.
The orchid's only in bloom for one more week, tops.
There's a local captain named Jensoon. I'm told he'll take anyone upriver for the right price.
It's night. Gordon, Jack, Sam and the smart businesswoman, Gail, are weaving their way through the stalls and traffic of a busy street. They head towards a small bar called Menu Man.
Are you sure this is the place?
They said the one with the red door.
I bet you any kind of money there's somebody playing Russian roulette in there.
Well, maybe we'll get lucky and they'll give you a turn.
Hey, why don't you two just get a room? Come on, Sam.
Gail scowls at Gordon as Sam and Jack head into the bar. Inside the bar's dimly lit interior is crammed with men at tables gambling. There's a woman at the bar smoking. A large bald man with a beard gives them all the evil eye.
Wait here!
Hey, if you insist.
Hey! Jensoon!
The barman, with a long scar down his cheek, points in another direction. Jack motions for Sam to follow him as he goes into the corner of the bar.
Jensoon!
People part for Jack, revealing a seated young, muscly man.
Salamat malam. Kami dengar anda bisa membawa kita orang ke hulu sungai.
The man with his shoulder-length black hair laughs.
Your Indonesian sucks. Stick to English.
We heard you could take us up river.
In rainy season?
Jack nods.
Won't be cheap.
We can pay you 25,000.
The man looks up.
I'll have a talk with the captain.
What do you mean you're not the captain?
Jensoon!
He looks at a man wearing a baseball cap.
These tourists need a boat. I told them not in the rainy season.
They go over to the man.
You're Jensoon?
Local nickname. Name's Johnson. Bill Johnson. It's a pronunciation thing. And you can rent my boat for 25 grand. Now, you want me to drive it? Well, that'll cost you 50.
50 grand? Are you high? You know what? Please don't answer that question. There is no way I'm trusting this guy with the expedition.
Listen, lady, let's cut the bullshit, please. If one of the other charter companies could take you, you'd be on the river by now. You only came to me because you're desperate. 50 grand's my price. Take it or leave it.
The two men slug their whiskey, and Johnson looks at Gail, who nods. Under a grey sky, a huge expanse of river is added to by the torrential rain. A taxi pulls off up a small, muddied street. Gail, clutching a suitcase, spots the boat.
I've seen subway cars in better shape than this.
Yeah, she may be ugly, but she puts out.
Johnson's muscly figure is highlighted as his clothes stick to him in the rain. A pickup van pulls up with lots of gear in the back. A man gets out.
Ah, What took you so long?
Hey, you tried getting a GPS locator, a sat-nav beacon star, and a UV spectrometer past Indonesian customs.
Complaining already?
Yeah.
Would you rather be back in the office?
Hell yeah! Girl, I had courtside seats at the Garden Saturday night. I was gonna sit right between Spike and Woody. Oh man, is that all right?
Look at the bright side, though. At least the weather's nice.
Another team member.
Ben Douglas, team doctor. You must be Sam.
Yeah, we spoke on the phone. Glad to have you aboard.
Douglas eyes her up.
I'm gonna get you for this.
Oh yeah, this could be fun.
You can forget about that, dog. That's one car you ain't never gonna catch.
There's always a way.
Your team's a little green, huh?
My former grad students. Best in their field. Here's a tip for Wexel Hall. You want the best young talent? Recruit early.
Yes, I'm sure Sam's very talented.
Gail goes off. Jack turns to Gordon.
I think I resent that.
Inside the boat.
You and the other gal can stay in here.
You live here.
The way you say that, I can tell you're impressed.
Johnson dumps a pile of dirty clothes.
All right. If you need anything. Well, if you need anything, you're shit out of luck.
He brushes past Sam, who takes in her dirty surroundings and puts her bags on the bed. Smoke pumps out of the exhaust as the engine turns over, and the Bloody Mary, as the boat is called, starts its journey. The boat is a patchwork of wood and corrugated iron. The young man with the long hair from the bar steers the boat as down below, Cole's on his laptop and the others look at a map.
Okay. Now this is where the exploratory team found the orchid, in the Celotan Basin. It took them 3 days to get upriver.
Yeah. Well, that was before the rainy season. Some of these waterways could be dangerous now.
You said you could get us there safely.
And I will. But safe isn't always quick. We'll work our way upriver one bend at a time. If I don't like what I see, we change course. You can't chart the fastest route before you begin.
Already have.
Cole beams.
Check it. All right. Now, we're uplinked in real time to NASA and Asia SATCOM. Now, under ideal conditions, this is the fastest route. But once we superimpose weather patterns for the past 10 years and then extrapolate, bingo, it's Pad Rang to the Celotan Basin. I'm a bad man.
All right, look, we got less than a week to get to that orchid. Now, if you can't get the job done, give us our money back and we'll get somebody who can.
I'll get you there.
As the Bloody Mary travels down the river, Gail walks through to the back of the boat. She looks curiously at a door, and looking about her as she goes, she puts her bag down and opens it. It's a ramshackle toilet with a hole down to the water.
God help me.
Rolling her eyes to heaven, she picks up her bag and opens the battered door to what had once been Johnson's room. There's a small cot bed on which Sam's bags are laid. Gail tetchily picks them up and throws them out into the corridor. Slapping her hands together to shake off the dust, she puts her bags on the bed. Hearing a noise, she turns to the cupboard in the corner and walks slowly towards it. She opens one door slowly. There's nothing but rubbish. The other door reveals papers, clothes, and some CDs. Shutting the doors and shaking her head, she returns to the bed. A monkey jumps on her. She runs out to the others.
Man, she says I'm attacking.
She holds on tightly to Gordon.
What you do? You scared him.
I scared him.
This is Kong. Kong lives here. Your guests.
He's a capuchin monkey.
Be nice.
Disgusting animal.
You okay now?
I'm fine. Just keep your hands off of me.
Oh, yeah, well, it's going to be tough, but
I'll try.
An aerial view reveals the tiny boat making its steady progress up the huge snaking river bounded on both sides by deep green undergrowth. Gordon is on a satellite mobile phone.
No, the S1 has to be on fire before the week is out.
Yeah.
No, I don't care. See, that's the point.
Hello?
No, the S1 needs to be on fire before the week is out.
Uh-huh. Yes, we were able
but
to get on the river,
but that's
the
whole purpose. We need the comments back from the SEC.
Uh-huh.
Excuse me.
It's the only place I get reception.
No, just get it.
Long-haired Tran is whittling wood.
Hello?
Hello? Bob! Damn it!
Try my phone. Works just as good, but it's free.
Oh, okay. Okay, maybe you can use my special antenna to boost your reception.
Gordon sticks up one finger.
So we want to search any rock face.
Now this ridge here seems a good bet.
Sam.
Sam turns to Ben, who's taking a photograph of her.
Come on, Sam. What do you say? We're young, we're single. We're in Borneo. What do you got to lose? You're not satisfied, you walk away. No commitments.
No commitments. That's your pitch.
Did I say no commitments? I meant marry me.
Am I going to be dealing with this for the next 2 weeks?
Yep.
Cole nods cheekily. Ben smiles his gleaming white smile. As day makes its way into night, the boat continues upriver. Mist slowly rolls over the water's surface. Gail and Sam are in the kitchen.
So, you were one of Jack's students?
Yeah. He was teaching a seminar in botanical pharmacology. As soon as I finished my dissertation, he hired me.
Well, that's one way to get a leg up.
Gail swigs her beer.
What's that supposed to mean?
I had a professor who wanted to hire me right out of school. Of course, he wanted me to be a secretary.
Look, if I've done something to offend you in any way...
No, dear, not at all. Actually, I admire you. It took me 10 years to get where I am. Clearly, your generation has it figured out.
Smiling pointedly, Gail takes another beer and goes, leaving a disbelieving Sam who bites her lip.
Man, this is good, man. Where'd you know how to cook like this?
Just a little recipe I picked up in Sri Lanka.
What were you doing there?
Doctors Without Borders. It's my day job.
You guys expect to need a doctor for some reason?
Can't get the expedition bonded without one.
Well, you just think of me as a charming insurance policy.
Something approaches the table from the floor. It's Kong trying to steal a banana.
Hey! You've had your dinner. Get out of here.
He moves the bowl of fruit away.
That... what'd I say?
The others watch as Kong scarpers up the wooden steps. He climbs onto a metal handrail and jumps up onto the roof of the boat. As the boat nears a tree heavily laden with fruit, Kong looks up hungrily, dancing around on the roof in anticipation. Once the boat is under the tree, he stands on his hind legs and reaches up for the large mango-shaped fruit. Clinging onto the branch with his arms and legs as the Bloody Mary moves on. The others are oblivious to his departure. Kong, having climbed down the tree, scampers along the side of the river trying to keep track with the boat. He calls to them, almost as if to make them stop and turn back, but they carry on. Suddenly, the idea of eating seems more interesting and he begins to lick the fruit. With the approach of the stealthy anaconda, Kong leaps out of the way and scurries across the jungle floor with the snake hot on his heels. Kong hides in the hollowed-out body of a fallen tree and covers his small eyes with his hands. The large black-and-white body of the anaconda slithers into the tree too, sending Kong careering out the other end. Fast as he can, he clambers up a tree. Scampering along various branches, Kong does his best to evade the anaconda. However, the snake has begun to slide his way up the tree.
Oh, shit! What was that?
What the hell was that? Something's getting eaten.
By what?
Everything gets eaten out here. It's the jungle.
In the light of morning, mist has spread its mantle over the jungle. Johnson goes through the boat looking for Kong.
Hey, you guys seen Kong?
No, not since last night.
Come on.
Why is that? Would that suggest it's on the microphone?
Where are you? Kong.
We need those results by next month if we want the FDA off our backs. Hello? Shit! I can't hear you! Can you hear me now? How about now? Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now?
We can?
Can you hear me now?
Gail is flailing in the water, mobile phone in hand.
Stop the boat!
Tran stops the boat as Gordon, Ben and Jack run to see where she is. Tran and Johnson watch her from the back of the boat.
I'll go. Right.
Hey, Gail! Can you hear me now?
Oh, I'm gonna kill you!
Stroke, Gail, stroke! Come on!
Watch your back.
Come on, stroke! Hey, Gail! How's the water?
Gail has a cut on her arm, which is bleeding into the water.
Maybe you should drop the phone. It's probably holding you back.
All right.
Stay calm, Gail.
Come on, stay calm.
The phone is a flotation device.
Come on, Gail. You're almost there, Gail.
Come on, it's just like a phone.
Johnson holds out a pole for her, but something else is in the water.
I got it!
A crocodile rears its fierce head above the water. Johnson dives in to save Gail.
Get out!
Hurry up!
Hurry up! Hurry up!
They pull her out. The crocodile goes for Johnson, who stuffs a plastic crate in its mouth. Tran goes for the gun as Johnson stabs the crocodile.
Oh my God.
You're great.
Tran has his gun trained on them both, but they go back underwater. The crocodile spins round in the water, taking Johnson with him. Tran doesn't know where to shoot.
Where'd he go?
I don't see him. Where's he gone?
Oh, my God.
Johnson comes up out of the water as they all watch, mouths open. The crocodile's bloody body turns slowly as Johnson rips out his knife from the carcass.
What shit you want?
Cole's jaw has dropped. Gail sits shivering on the tailboard between Ben and Gordon as Johnson swims over towards them, before slumping his arms on the board and looking upwards to Gail.
You're okay?
I lost my phone.
Sorry to hear it.
Johnson clambers up out of the water and comes standing face to face with the wide-eyed Sam.
That was either the bravest or the stupidest thing I've ever seen.
It's a fine line.
As Johnson climbs over into the boat, the body of the dead crocodile suddenly gets pulled down under the surface of the water. Later, Ben is finishing stitching up Gail's arm as they all celebrate her release from the jaws of death with a glass of whiskey.
To Gail, who knows it's better to eat than be eaten.
Yeah,
baby.
Almost eaten just to find a flower. Hardly seems worth it.
Oh, it's worth it. I mean, think about it. Right? A pill that you take every day for the rest of your life. Now, even if we charge, say, $1 a pop, billionaires.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about, baby.
At $100 a bottle. I'll dive in that river and fight that croc myself.
So, how many flowers does it take to save the world?
I figure 50 orchids will yield about an ounce of chemical. You could have a football field full of those orchids. Still doesn't mean you can get it through human trials.
She doesn't even believe in you.
Comes with the territory. In research, you've got to go out on a limb. And there's always someone waiting to chop it off.
Kong drops in on the table.
Where have you been, huh?
Damn that thing!
Where you been, boy? Calm down. Calm down.
Oh, God.
It's all right.
Looks like you've seen a ghost.
It's all right. It's all right. It's all right.
Kong's black eyes are alive with fear. Later, it's dark. Sam's with Jack.
What if Gail's right? He sells in a petri dish one thing. Human trials are another.
She's wrong. And when Prenium Mortalis goes to product and you and I can cash in our stock options, we'll rub a face in it.
Stock options.
I spoke to Mitchell. Reach, give me a half a point.
I don't know what to say.
Don't say anything. You deserve it. All this won't be possible without your work.
Sam, with her long blonde hair around her shoulders, looks up at Jack, who leans in to kiss her.
Jack. Thought we decided against that.
Yeah. You're right. It would be fun, though. I mean, here we are, traveling upriver to the greatest discovery of our careers, and if this orchid thing works out, then who knows?
Is that why I'm here? So you can give us one more try?
You're here because you're the best researcher I've got.
Am I interrupting something?
No. I was just going to bed.
Yeah. And before you do that, we need to talk.
Johnson seems even more mean and moody in the dim light. Sam and Jack exchange knowing glances, and then Jack heads off.
We got a problem. See the water level?
Uh-huh.
In high water, the Medrenan gets rough. Now, what we can do is turn around and try to find another course. But that'll take at least 2 days.
We don't have the time.
If the river becomes impassable, it's going to take a lot longer.
And if we turn back, then we're definitely screwed. We're going to have to risk it.
What if I don't want to risk it?
Do you have any idea what this flower means? We're talking about the biggest medical discovery in history.
Wow. That does sound great, Jack. But I was never any good at history. You want me to risk the Medrenang? It's going to cost you an extra $50,000.
Jack eyes Johnson's steely calm appraisingly.
Done?
Don't you gotta ask the boss lady or something?
I'll pay it myself.
All right. You got yourself a deal. But if we get trouble, your people do what I say. You got that?
You're the captain.
Johnson picks up a bottle of spirits and takes a swig, smiling to himself. The searchlight on top of the boat scanning round the surface of the dark water as the boat continues on into the night. Gordon's looking at some papers.
Research proposals?
Yeah, research proposals. You're not the only company we're in bed with.
Yeah, but we're the prettiest and most popular. It's like sleeping with the head cheerleader.
Not fun.
Come on, you know you love us.
I love you, Cash.
Then why don't you let me get a look at that file? I mean, after this orchid thing goes bust, you're going to be finished at Wexel Hall. Unless you got something else lined up.
You really want to see his film, don't you?
No. I just think that you will. I am a scientist, you know.
Scientist? What are you doing at Wexel Hall?
I like science. I just like money better.
I'll drink to that.
As they eye each other beadily, they raise their glasses and drink. The mist of the morning has found the mountains clinging to the trees. As the Bloody Mary works its way upriver, there's lots of debris in the water which knocks against the hull of the boat. Johnson is asleep in a makeshift bed as Tran steers the boat and an agitated Kong moves restlessly around. Bestubbled Johnson is awoken by the floating flotsam and gets up out of his bed, pulling back a curtain to look at the river.
The river's flooded. We can't see the banks.
Miss or turn off?
It's just ahead.
What the hell was that?
Johnson looks over the side of the boat. Suddenly, the wheel is stuck.
Rudder's jammed.
Watch out.
Johnson takes over and struggles with the wheel.
Shit.
Johnson jumps down onto the lower deck.
Get up! Everybody up!
He lifts Sam up and off a hammock that hangs over the engine cover, which he pulls open. The engine is smoking. Gordon and Gail come out of the same room.
What's going on?
Shit, you've blown that gasket.
We all right?
Hey, what's going on?
What is it?
We got problems.
Johnson goes up to the wheelhouse. The others all stand below, looking up to the wheelhouse. As Johnson pushes a lever, the rotors on the propeller spin round madly.
Son of a bitch. Christ is drowned.
Gail, Ben and Cole look about them at the heavily flooded river as Johnson pushes the boat for all it's worth, a look of grim determination on his face as Tran watches.
We missed our turn off.
I know. Come on, baby.
What is it?
What is it? It's a gushing waterfall very close by.
What do you see?
Come on. You got this. Come on, girl.
His eyes have taken on a demoniacal quality as a red light comes on the control panel and the rotors stop. He hits the panel in frustration as they head closer to the waterfall.
Everybody, hang on!
Hang on away!
The others all brace themselves to go over the edge. As the boat reaches the edge, the group, wide-eyed and panic-stricken, hold on for dear life. As the boat tips up and enters the waterfall, the group are all hanging vertically from anything they can hold on to as half the boat's contents fall out. The Bloody Mary's bow hits the water like a knife slicing through the surface. She plummets under the water, overturning as she goes. One by one, the group come up for air. Gail first, then Jack, followed by Johnson and a struggling Sam. With the river's strong current, they all make for the hull of the upturned boat, which has a large hole in it. Some of them have only just reached the hull, holding on for dear life, when it begins to sink. They all try to head for shore.
It's sinking! It's sinking!
Where's Cole?
Swim to the rock! This way!
Come on, guys! Get to the rock!
Get to the rock!
Where's Cole? Cole!
Where's Cole?
Over there! Over there! Over
there! Cole pulls Gordon out of the water. The others are all clambering to safety, except Sam, who is still in the water as something approaches.
Give me a hand. Give me a hand.
They pull her out just in time as the anaconda slips away.
You almost got us killed!
You think I wanted this? I just lost my damn boat!
You're gonna lose your damn payday if you don't get us out of this.
Who said that you could get us there safely? If you knew it was that dangerous, you should have turned
around.
That's enough! There's nothing we can do about that now. It's a waste of energy. What have we got?
Some specimen jars, a map, a little water, no food.
Hard drive's ruined.
Well, pretty much all the equipment's shot. Except one of Saffron's still works. It's online.
Oh, thank God we can call the police.
Police. The nearest river patrol is back in Padran. The only way to get to us is over that.
Are you saying we're stuck here?
Gail hangs her head, as does Ben. Johnson is thinking.
Maybe not. We're here. The valley's completely flooded. But I got a friend who operates a boat in the Two-Cut River. I can give him a call. And he can meet us here. At Naga Rock.
How far is that?
I don't know. 2-day hike down the river. But if we bushwhack, we cut at least a day off the trek.
Oh, my God, you want to go through that?
It's the shortest way. We could be safely in a Two-Cut by nightfall.
They all take this in.
So we can continue with the expedition.
Yeah, I'll get you to the flower.
I don't care about that flower. Just get us to safety.
It's the same thing. Now, we can either be on my buddy's boat in 10 hours, or we can sit here and wait for the river patrol for days.
Cole pulls a face.
Your friend, is he reliable?
Absolutely. You better not screw me on this.
Sounds like you're already screwed, mate.
Pay $2,000. I need you in this one, John.
Yes, so it seems. Billy, I'd love to help you out, but I'm flat out, mate. You know, probably squeeze you in for, say, $5,000?
You're killing me.
That's mate's rate. Boy, you can always hike back to Padrang if you want to save bucks. Up to you, pal.
Fine. Five. But you better be there. Otherwise, I'll tell your wife about that little side trip to Bangkok.
Wife's long gone, Billy. Long gone, mate.
He puts his phone away with his gun.
All right, people, we're on. Saddle up. Stay together. This jungle is all green all the time, and you will get lost.
Picking up the gear that they have left, the group heads off. Kong has somehow got a CD from somewhere and brings that along too. The dense jungle vegetation is relentless as Johnson and Tran hack their way through, making a path. The others, sweating and breathless, follow.
Like doing a Stairmaster in a sauna.
Yeah, I might die of a heat stroke, but I have a nice tight ass.
What's the spirit, Cole?
Cole is wincing as Ben comes up.
You want me to grab that?
Is that a trick question? Here, man.
Ben takes Cole's briefcase and begins walking.
Right between Spike and me. Right between Spike and me. You okay, Sam?
Fine.
Sam's bent over, trying to catch her breath as Ben comes up.
See, a crisis separates the real men from the pretenders.
Yeah, I can see that.
She looks towards Johnson.
What, that? That's nothing.
Ben grins cockily and goes as Sam shakes her head.
I tricked him into taking my bag.
Sam smiles as she watches the breathless Cole walk before her. Johnson stops to catch his breath and rests against a tree. Ben comes up to him.
Hey, mind if I give it a try?
Knock yourself out.
Johnson gives him the machete. Sam is there and Ben winks at her before heading off.
Hey. I'm sorry about your boat.
Yeah, well, it was a piece of shit anyway.
Sam eyes the rugged Johnson warily as he follows Ben. Meanwhile, a disheveled John in his dirty, shabby little fishing boat continues upriver. John's taking swigs from a bottle of whiskey, but turns as he hears something in the water. Seeing nothing, he returns to his drink. Across river, Johnson and the others reach a problem, a huge swamp area. As they reach it, their jaws drop in desperation at the scene.
Can we go around?
Yeah, we could. But we lose another day.
Sam shuts her eyes in frustration.
Let's go.
Gordon and Jack share a knowing look as the others head on. Johnson leads the group, followed by Sam, Gail, Ben, Cole, Gordon and Jack, with Tran bringing up the rear. They're wading waist deep through the murky water. Cole is nervous in the water. The others all look around cautiously as they edge deeper. Kong sits up in a branch of a tree and calls out to Johnson.
Hey, knock it off.
Kong puts his hand on his head as he sees the anaconda snaking its way around the group, who are now dotted throughout the water. Cole's face is edged with fear as they are now almost chest deep in the water. Sam, looking up, sees a ripple in front of her.
Shit! What was that?
What was what?
Something just moved.
Oh, please, don't say that.
No, I'm serious. Something just moved past me.
Something just moved as if something's alive?
Yeah, man. Man. Shit! Shit! Yo, there it is again, man. There's something in here.
Cole, there's probably a million things in here.
He's right. Just keep moving.
Cole has his arms out and his hands flat to the water as if ready to fight. Jack and Gordon look around the water nervously, whilst Ben, who stands near Gale, smiles cockily.
Stop it. Swear to God if you don't stop it.
Ben disappears under the water.
Very funny. Ben? Ben?
Ben?
Ben?
Where'd he go?
Ben?
Shit!
Ben! Ben?
Ben!
Ben comes up out of the water, his t-shirt shredded, revealing his bloodied torso. But suddenly the head of the mighty anaconda springs up out of the water and grabs Ben's body by the head. The others screaming are caught between watching the spectacle and running for their lives. The anaconda flings Ben's body into the air before spinning back down into the water and taking the body of Ben with it. Later, they all sit shell-shocked.
What the hell was that thing?
Anaconda.
Oh, great!
There's snakes out here that big?
Yes, but there's
What? That thing swallowed them all!
You can calm down and listen
for a second. No,
I can explain to you.
No, you calm down and you listen! Ben was just eaten by a freaking snake, okay? A freaking snake!
Cole.
Oh, God, let me...
Cole.
Oh, my God, did you see that thing? We don't got a chance against something like that. I mean, Mitchell, listen to me, man. I watched the Discovery Channel, okay? I'm telling you, we got no chance. We're like mice in an aquarium. You understand? I mean, we're going to die, girl. We're going to die.
Calm down. Okay?
Hey, Jack, I'm okay.
Okay.
I'm just
sit right here. I'm so sorry.
Listen. Anacondas are territorial. A snake that size will hunt a huge area. There won't be another one for miles. We gotta get to the boat. It's not that far. So if we keep moving and stick together, we should be fine.
We should be?
How big do they get?
That was the biggest one I've ever seen by far. A freak of nature. The odds of running into another one that size are astronomical.
Yeah, but how do we know that the one that got Ben is not going to come after us?
It takes him weeks to digest. A meal like that, he'll be sleeping it off for a while.
Gordon looks down, biting his lip as Jack, upset, shuts his eyes. Gail looks around, determined.
Just, get to that boat and get home.
What about the orchid?
They all look at him.
You gotta be kidding me.
It won't be in bloom for another 7 years.
This expedition is over, Jack.
Now, hold on a second, Gil.
It's a lot of money to stake here, okay?
I don't care. Ben is dead. We have lost someone. As Wexel Hall's representative, I am calling this expedition off.
You don't have the authority.
Check your contract.
In case you hadn't noticed, we're in the middle of the jungle. At this point, your authority is what we say it is.
Her chest heaving with anger, she glares at Jack as Gordon sits thoughtful.
Jack, I'm with her. I gotta get the hell out of here, man.
Look, Ben was my friend, okay? I got him into this, and no one feels worse about it than I do. I don't want to do anything stupid. I just want to accomplish what we came here for. If we turn back now, Ben's death would be for nothing.
Gordon looks up at him as Jack tries to stand his ground.
Let's just get back to the boat. We can regroup and make our decision then.
Her arms defiantly crossed, Gail walks off. Cole picks up his gear and goes, as do the others except Sam and Jack.
Jack, maybe Gail's right.
She's just scared. Once we get back to the boat, she'll be okay.
Johnson comes over to Jack and Sam.
When we get back to the boat, this expedition is over. The only place I'm taking these people is to safety.
Hey, we had a deal.
Keep your money, Doc. Someone is dead. We're officially in over our heads.
You just said we won't run into another one of those things.
And we probably won't, but I can't guarantee it. So I'll get you to the boat. And after that, we're done.
Johnson glares at him defiantly.
Well, that answers it.
That answers nothing. I'll just throw more money at him when we get back to the boat. If it doesn't take, I'll offer his friend the same deal.
Jack, maybe we
Sam, if we don't get to that orchid now, all of our work would have been for nothing. I need your support, okay? You have as much riding on this as I do. Don't let me down.
Jack puts on his backpack and strides off, leaving Sam staring after him.
I saw the special on Animal Planet. Anacondas are vicious, man. I mean, they hunt for sport. They don't even need to see you to eat you. I mean, they just use their flicking tongues to scent your body.
Will you shut the hell up?
And I knew this guy. I knew this other guy who used to shoot documentaries. And he went down to the Amazon with his crew once. And they were all eaten by snakes. And that's a true story.
Come on, you knew a guy who knew a guy. That's an urban myth.
Johnson is back hacking his way through the jungle. Sam is right behind him. He pauses slightly so that she can draw a level to him.
Sorry about Ben. I never should have stayed on the Mendrenet.
What do you mean?
I figured he didn't tell the others, but I thought you knew.
Knew what?
Byron offered me an extra 50 grand to stay on the river. I told him I'd get rough, but he wanted to risk it. Hey, don't blame him. It was my call. I took the money. I thought I could get us through. You want to blame anyone? You blame me.
Johnson carries on as Sam stares after him. Kong jumps from one tree to another.
These boots are killing me.
As Cole walks forward, Gordon's face seems concerned as he notices something on Cole.
Cole!
What?
Yes.
Cole's face changes. He has a leech on his neck.
Oh, God, what is this? Get it off!
Johnson puts the flame to the leech and pulls it off.
You okay?
Yeah.
Well,
what?
Hold on. Charge up.
What are you doing? Why are you going under my shirt? What are you doing?
Jesus.
Jesus, what? What is it?
Anybody got a blowtorch?
Cole's back is covered with leeches. Later, Gordon has his shoe off and is massaging his blistered foot whilst Johnson works on pulling off the leeches. Gordon's about to put his boot back on.
Stop! Careful.
When Tran hits the shoe, a spider comes shooting out and lands on the rock on which Gordon's sitting.
If that thing bit you, you would be lumpu. Paralyzed like stone for 2 days.
Jack peers excitedly at the spider, and just as Tran is about to squash it with Gordon's boot, he captures the spider in one of his specimen jars.
What do you call this fella?
Lava Lava Batu, stone spider.
Hey, man, just discovered a valuable new anesthetic agent for Wexel.
Oh, no. Forget Wexel, we can get this at the highest bidder.
All right, show and tell's over. We gotta get to that boat. Put your boots on, and let's go.
Jack examines the spider avidly.
You're the one I always love.
The boat swerves and John drops his bottle.
Margaret.
John stops the boat. Having heard something, he looks over the side.
What the hell is that?
John, in his grimy cap, vest and shirt, studies the surface of the water intently. The anaconda hits the boat, which tilts from side to side, sending John careering. Steadying himself, he goes to the back of the boat to look at the water again.
Holy bloody hell.
Seeing the anaconda's huge, slippery form in the water, John runs towards his box containing the gun. As he desperately tries to open it, the snake slips onto the boat. The anaconda has got hold of John. As he struggles to get the gun, the box falls to the floor. As he's dragged into the water, he puts the boat into gear, which sends it powering off towards the riverbank.
Whoa! What was that?
Oh, my God.
What the hell was that?
Come on.
As Johnson reaches the riverbank, John's burnt-out wreck lies smoking.
No! Oh, come on, man! What the hell happened?
Let me stand!
Jack picks up John's bottle.
Here we go. He got drunk and fell off the bloody boat!
Gail's crying. Sam puts her hands to her head.
Your friend! Now what are we gonna do now?
Johnson just stands there.
Search the wreckage. Find anything we can use. I hope to God there's a phone.
Across the other side of the river, close to a burnt bit of the boat, Gordon finds a lamp, which he throws away, and then a petrol canister in the water. Sam opens up a bag and chucks out various ropes, but finds a torch, which he switches on, and it works. Gail is going through another box and finds some first aid things. Kong even finds a light too. Cole tries the radio.
Hello? Hello? Oh, come on.
Anything?
Nothing.
Keep trying.
What do you think I'm doing, Jack? Hello?
Hello? Come on, man. Hello?
Unseen, the gun box lies underneath the floor of the boat. Tran has found a flare kit. The others scavenge along the riverbank as the river runs on. Later, Sam and Jack sit looking dejected as the others come together. Gail hangs her head, but Tran sits apart from them all.
No phone?
Nothing.
Couldn't get a signal on the radio.
Jack throws stones at the river.
Now what?
Tran, who is sitting further up the riverbank, looks searchingly out over the river. Johnson walks over to him, followed by some of the others. There is a rotting, dismembered fish head at his feet.
What's going on?
Where'd these come from?
Lopax.
Who?
Local tribe. Descended from headhunters.
What?
Been in this region for thousands of years.
Headhunters?
There's still some villages around here.
Yeah, it's supposed to be one of their fishing spots.
No, hold on, excuse me. Did you say headhunters?
They haven't been practicing headhunters in Borneo for over a century.
Yeah, well, just because they ain't practicing don't mean they don't remember how.
They must be along this branch of the river. We can find their village. Maybe they can lend us a boat.
So wait a minute. We just gonna walk towards the headhunters, not away.
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Later, the group in a straggly line are making their way through the jungle. Coming to a small stream, they cross over. Each of them is dirty and wearied.
Oh, God. I'm so hungry. I saw my grandmother for a Tic Tac.
You mentioned food one more time. I'm voting you off the side.
As Johnson is cutting a swathe through the undergrowth, they come across the gungy, half-eaten body of John Livingston.
He's dead.
Livingston.
Oh, my God, man. What the hell happened to him?
Anaconda.
Johnson shuts his eyes in despair.
If he was eaten by the snake, then why...
Listen!
Sam tries to stifle her tears.
All right. These things are at their weakest when they digest. But if threatened, they will spit up their food and attack again.
What? Are you telling me there's some snake out there with an empty stomach?
Yeah.
The same one that got Ben?
No. There's no way that snake could have gotten to Livingston. It had to be another one.
Another one? You said that there wouldn't be another one for miles.
There wouldn't. Unless.
Unless what?
Unless it's mating season.
Oh, my God.
Mating season.
Yeah. You see, the males are territorial, but when they smell a female in heat, they come running from everywhere.
Females find a nice, wet, muddy pit, and they all go after her at once. One big mating ball.
So you tell me there's some snake orgy out in the jungle?
Yeah, something like that. Look, we're losing the light. All we gotta do is get to that village. So please, pay attention. Do not stray from the group. Let's go.
Later, as Tran leads the way, they come into a clearing filled with smoke. There are skeletons attached to sticks, a table with a pile of skulls on it, and religious statues.
Stay quiet. Sacred burial ground.
They stare with wide eyes at the pile of skulls on a ceremonial table. One skull has a bone wedged between his teeth. Another skeleton is tied to several sticks as if it had died like that. As they walk further on, in front of them by a hut is the body of a large anaconda, except that part of its gut is open, revealing part of a human body. Two legs, one of which juts out onto the ground.
Jesus.
They all stop in horror at the sight and the smell.
I thought you said that anaconda was the biggest you'd ever seen.
It was.
Well, this one's...
bigger. Males must have come through here looking for the female.
Gail has her hand on her mouth. Gordon and Jack wear expressions of deep horror as they move through this eerie place.
Some bullshit.
Cole's face is etched with shock and disbelief as he follows the others.
They took their boats.
Good for them. Bad for us.
Which one's the Mendrane?
On the right. The Toku keeps going to the left. Fastest way to Kotobaru.
How long?
You'll be soaking in a hot tub at the Four Seasons in 2 days.
How, man? We don't even have a boat.
We're gonna build one.
It's night. One by one, they light torches, passing the flame from one to the next, the light illuminating their tired, grubby faces. Gordon and Johnson pull out two bamboo trunks that were part of a roof of a crumbling shack. The shack collapses.
Man, do that in my neighborhood. That's your ass. Shit.
Jack, wielding a machete, hacks through a bamboo branch, whilst Gail brings in an armful of small tree poles. Tran ties together two wooden poles with twine, the tattoos on his muscles flexing as he tightens the twine. Kong has a skull between his two little hands and jumps up and down in the excitement at all the activity. Jack is washing his face in some clear water that lies in some kind of ceremonial stone basin. Looking down, he spots something on the stone-carved basin. It's a blood orchid.
Sam
walks over to him in the half light as he kneels down by the side of the basin.
What does this look like to you?
Jack's eyes are wide with excitement. Sam kneels down and looks at the carved orchid.
My God. Rhenium mortalis.
Now we know why these snakes are so big.
What?
Anacondas keep growing till they die, right? And these are the biggest snakes Bill's ever seen.
Because they're living longer.
Exactly. Because Perennia immortalis is part of the food chain. These snakes have transcended the Hayflick limit. The chemical in the orchid does exactly what we predicted. And not in theory. In the real world. This is proof, Sam, of your research carved in stone.
This is proof. It's anecdotal evidence at best.
Let's get to the orchid and find out.
You are out of your mind.
Do you have any idea how close we are?
He runs off excitedly, followed by Sam. Gail stays and stares at Gordon, who stands opposite her. As Jack goes to get the map, the others drift in.
The orchid was found here, on the Mendrenang, just around the next bend. We'll be going right past it.
No, we won't. We are going down the Tokut. If we continue down the Mendrenang, it's going to be a week before we reach another village. I'm not waiting that long for my bath.
Jack turns from Gail, who is scowling at him, to Sam.
Yeah, well, it's not up to you.
Jack. Maybe you can just come back.
Come back? In 7 years? What if it's not here? What if some local farmer decides to slash and burn the entire basin? Instead of the Fountain of Youth, we'll have a giant rice paddy. This is our only chance. You know it is.
Gordon looks up.
Do you really want to give up now we're this close?
Look. You know I got your back, right? We've been in the trenches 100 times together. But I'm not going in that jungle.
Damn straight, man.
Thank you.
Gail crosses her arms defiantly as, wide-eyed, Jack looks pleadingly to Sam.
This is my expedition, and we're going to the orchid.
No. We're not.
Don't be an idiot, Sam.
This is bigger than penicillin, for God's sake. Your lives will be saved by this drug. People will live longer, they'll stay young longer. If we don't put this to human trials, it's going to be a crime against humanity.
Two people have died already.
Scientists have always risked their lives to change the world. If they didn't, we wouldn't have cures for yellow fever, polio, and smallpox. But we all knew the risks.
We thought we did. Until you decided to start making decisions behind our backs.
He tries to laugh it off.
What are you talking about?
He offered Bill an extra 50 grand to keep going up the Mendrenang, even though he knew it wasn't safe.
Stunned, Gail and Cole look at Jack.
Is that true, Jack?
I was thinking of the expedition.
You were thinking of your career.
Zipping up his bag, he walks quickly over to Sam. Johnson watches closely nearby.
Look. You're my assistant. I don't need to consult you!
She steps backward as he barks at her. The others all stand gazing at him and each other.
I'm the one with authority here.
We're in the middle of the jungle, Jack. At this point, your authority is what we say it is.
Guess you got a mutiny on your hands.
Jack looks over to Gail, and then Sam, and finally Gordon, who stares back at Jack as if he hardly knew him anymore. Jack closes his eyes briefly before leaving them and stomping off. Gail walks slowly over to Sam, who is still smarting.
Thank you.
Sam tries to smile half-heartedly, but her thoughts are elsewhere.
Okay. Keep an eye.
They begin to put the raft together.
Careful. Center it right here.
All right.
They set the base of the raft onto two collections of bamboo poles that have been strung together to form ballasts. Later, Sam comes across Johnson, t-shirt off, shaving.
Doing?
Never seen a man shave before.
Probably a lot sharper before you attack that alligator.
Crocodile.
She points to a tattoo.
What's that mean?
That means a new beginning. It's Korean. I got it when I was in the military.
Who brought you here?
Long story.
Where am I gonna go?
All right. Here's the deal. I was in the Special Forces, and I saw and did things that I wanted to forget. Sometimes we do the wrong things for the right reasons, you know.
It's not very long, stories go.
Yeah. Well, I got out of the military, came here, and bought the Bloody Mary. Just wanted to start a new life.
The lightning illuminates both their faces momentarily out of the darkness. Johnson smiles sweetly at Sam. In a hut, Gordon, with one boot off, is rummaging in Jack's bag. First of all, he comes across the poisonous spider. Then he finds a pair of socks.
Oh,
thank you, Jack.
Having put the specimen jar with the spider in it to one side, and after undoing the socks, he notices something else in Jack's bag. It is the grey box with property of J. Livingston on it that belonged to John. Opening it, it still contains a mobile and the gun.
On three. Ready? One, two, three.
It works.
Woo!
All right.
The makeshift raft works. Gordon studies the phone, which is working, and opens it up as if about to make a call. Behind him, the darkened figure of Jack is creeping towards him.
Let me explain.
Why in the hell didn't you tell me about this?
Jack comes up behind him and then crouches down next to him by the fire.
The minute someone makes a call, this expedition's over.
Exactly.
All I'm asking for is a few more hours. We continue on the Mendrenang, take our orchid samples, then we call for help.
Forget about it, Jack, right? Get us out of here.
Think about this, Gordon. You're about to become a billionaire. Do you really want to give all that up?
I don't care about the money, right? I want to live.
Jack opens the specimen jar and puts the spider onto Gordon. It bites him.
It bit me.
As Gordon winces in pain, Jack opens the cylinder of the gun and checks for bullets.
Jack, what are you...
Jack doesn't answer him, but collects the things that he needs.
What are you...
As Jack pulls all the things he needs together, Gordon's face trembles in pain. He tries to stand up, but then falls to the floor. Slowly, he drags himself over to the other side of the hut and manages to sit up.
Help. Help.
Jack takes one last look at Gordon and goes. Out in the rain, the others are loading up the raft.
Where's Mitchell?
Resting his feet.
Should I go get him?
No. Let him rest till we get everything loaded.
Okay.
Those blisters are pretty nasty.
Sam glances suspiciously at Jack, who is piling up things to go on the raft. She puts down the wood she was carrying and slowly, backing away, makes her way over to the large hut where Gordon is as the others continue loading the raft.
Mitchell, you okay?
She sees Gordon slumped against one of the beams of the hut.
Mitchell? What is it? Tell me.
As she looks down at the gasping Gordon, she sees the bite mark from the spider on his arm and stands up appalled, her eyes wide. Gordon's eyes move up to the ceiling where, unbeknownst to Sam, a huge anaconda is slithering through the rafters and eyeing up Gordon as a potential meal. He tries to signal to Sam with his eyes that the anaconda is above her. However, as his eyes dart, she runs out of the hut. After she goes, the anaconda comes face to face with Gordon, who desperately tries to move.
What did you do to him, Jack?
What is it? Something's wrong with Mitchell.
What are you talking about?
You were in there alone with him. What did you do?
He was resting his feet. I didn't do anything.
Jack reaches for the gun, which is hidden in the back of his trousers as the others face him angrily. Gordon lies twitching on the floor desperately. The anaconda reels itself in before pouncing on him and dragging him up into the ceiling. Kong squealing alerts the others.
Oh my God.
Tran and Sam lead away a screaming gale. Johnson, using a torch, sets light to the roof of the hut before running out himself. As they all run to the riverbank, they are too late as Jack is punting the raft away.
The raft! No! You son of a bitch!
We can build another one.
What? What, Sam?
We gotta get to the raft. It's our only way out of here.
FYI, Bill! The raft is gone!
We can get it back.
How? Huh? How? Are we gonna swim after it now?
Look. The village is here. Jack is following the Mendrenang. We cut across the jungle. We can catch him on the other side.
Catch him where?
He's going to that orchid. We find that flower, we find that raft.
As the five stand breathless and soaking in the rain, illuminated by the flames from the hut, Sam looks at them all, grimly determined. Gale, sobbing and exhausted, sits on the shore. It's behind them, the hut collapses in on itself.
Oh, thank God. It's Jack Byron. Listen, something terrible has happened. We took the wrong way on the Mendrenang. We went over a waterfall. I haven't seen anyone since. I think I'm the only one left.
Wait.
Tran shines the torch through the jungle.
Come on!
Johnson leaps forward.
Okay.
Johnson and the others stop to look and listen around them.
It's in front of us.
Son of a bitch. She's trying to separate us.
Oh, Christ, it's everywhere.
Doesn't matter. They can sense our body.
Be right. Let's just get the hell out of here.
They all begin to run through the undergrowth, with Johnson leading. He brings them to what appears to be some kind of ledge, which gives way, sending them all tumbling, rolling and sliding down an incline and into some kind of underground tunnel filled with water, with creepers hanging from its ceiling.
Anyway!
Johnson leads them forward, the thin beam of his torch illuminating their grim surroundings.
Oh my God.
As they all huddle together, Johnson shines his beam on the multiple tunnels.
There's a way in, there's a way out.
As the others rush on forward, Cole, who has slowed down, has become separated from them. Cole has dropped his torch into the water and frantically roots around for it. Finally finding it, he hits it to make it work.
Guys! Which way? All right, say it again! Hello? Yes!
The tendrils of the vines catch Cole and make him smart with fear. Hearing noises, he moves forward tentatively in the darkness, shining his torch on the dark stone walls of the tunnel. But suddenly, his torch goes out.
Okay.
Cole is distressed and screaming at the skeletons and skulls that line the walls of the cave.
No!
It's Tran.
Stay together.
Okay. Promise. Can we please go?
Let's go.
No, okay.
The dark form of the anaconda glides through the water, heading for Tran and Cole, unbeknownst to them. The snake is eyeing up Tran's legs underwater.
Which way? I don't know.
What do you mean you don't know?
I found you, didn't I?
They slowly creep forward together, Tran holding a torch. Suddenly, he falls into the water.
Tran? Tran!
Tran tries to swim back up to the surface, but finds only rock at his head. Reaching up with his hands, he finds an air pocket and gulps in air. Going back down into the water to try and find his way out.
Tran!
The anaconda is swimming his way.
Stop!
The snake clamps its mouth on Tran, spinning round his body as it carries it down deeper into the water. His torch floats to the surface.
Cole! Tran! Can you hear me? Cole! Where are you?
As Johnson searches for Cole and Tran, he comes across Tran's torch bobbing in the water. As he looks down, it's surrounded by a pool of blood. He heads back to the others.
I think I found a way out.
Take this. Go, now.
Where are they?
Go.
Oh, my God.
Go.
Sam, Gail, and Johnson climb up the small tunnel towards the source of the light.
Cole?
Hey, right here!
Oh,
almost there.
It's behind them.
Move and don't open! Help me! What did I do?
With the anaconda behind them, they crawl forward on their bellies with desperate speed. Sam reaches the exit, then Gale, then Johnson, who stabs his machete into the soil and then rolls himself out.
Help! 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 Help!
Help! Help! Help! Help!
Give me your hand.
Oh, God. No, I'm stuck. Give me your hand.
All right.
I'm stuck. Pull me back in the arm.
Come on.
God,
they pull Cole out just in the nick of time as the anaconda's scaly features appear. It rears its huge, ugly mouth at Johnson, Cole and Gale, who lie on the jungle floor cowering. But then Sam runs over to where Johnson left the machete and with one blow she slices off its head.
That's what I'm talking about! That's what I'm talking about, Sam! Oh my God! You're the bomb, Sam! You're the random bomb in that ass! How you like her now, bitch? Huh? She slices you, she dices you, she cuts you up! I was like Sam with the samurai action! Sam!
Another snake takes off Cole.
Hell no!
Johnson runs after the anaconda.
Go!
Cole! Cole!
Cole!
Running through the jungle, Johnson spots Cole high up in a tree, being strangled as the anaconda wraps itself tightly around the tree branch and Cole. Running forward, as Sam and Kong look on, Johnson takes out his hunting knife and throws it at the snake's head. The snake goes loose and Cole falls to the ground.
Get up, Cole. Get up, man. Wake up, man. Come on, man. Wake up.
No. No. He's not breathing. Give him air.
Sam gives Cole mouth to mouth.
Again. Come on, wake up. Don't you die. Don't die, come on, no.
Cole struggles for breath as the others, sat round him, look on. Kong watches from a nearby branch.
What the fuck? Get off me!
It's okay, no,
it's okay.
Hey,
it's okay.
You're okay.
I'm okay.
Johnson, looking resolute, walks over to the limp body of the dead anaconda and rips his hunting knife out of its head. Meanwhile, across the jungle, Jack has landed the raft close to where the orchids are supposed to be. Burying his torch in the mud, he studies the map, then looks about him, gauging his position. Pressing his watch to orientate himself and picking up his map, he heads off into the jungle. Eventually, in the dim light of the night, he comes across a small ravine with a tree bough running across it over to the other side. Slowing down now, he looks around him and, his face beaming, spots the flowers he has travelled all this way to see.
Perennia immortalis.
His face lit with joy, as well as the torchlight, he gazes in wonder at these extraordinary flowers with their deep red petals and dew-like stamens. Meanwhile, above him, Sam and Gale, hiding in the undergrowth, spot his torch in the distance.
Son of a bitch finally got his orchid.
Yeah, he can have him. All I care about is that raft.
Bent double, Sam, Gale and Johnson head off into the undergrowth. Jack, hearing something in the distance, looks up. As he slowly stands, his eyes dart in the flickering light. Above him, the clear, bright moon begins to be shrouded by dark clouds of the night. Not far from him, the others reach the raft.
Oh my God, thank God!
Gale collapses with relief onto the raft. As Johnson goes to the river's edge, his eyes looking out into the darkness, Kong scuttles onto the raft. Sam rifles through Jack's bag and finds the empty specimen jar.
I think I know what happened to Mitchell.
Jack appears, pointing the gun at them.
I can't let you take that.
watch Sam stands up as Jack lowers his gun. Johnson reaches for the knife from his belt.
You guys look like hell.
You don't know what hell is.
I'm sorry, but you gave me no choice.
Did you give Mitchell a choice before you killed him?
I didn't kill Mitchell.
No. You just let him die. I saw the spider bite on his arm.
What was I supposed to do, Sam? Huh? The right thing?
It's always a good place to start.
Jack shoots Johnson in the arm.
Don't be stupid about this. Let's get to the flower. We can all go home.
Later, they walk in single file to the flower. Jack points the gun at Johnson, who clutches his bleeding arm. Sam, Gale, and Cole light their way with the torches as they edge hesitantly forward into the unknown. Gale's eyes pierce through the darkness to try to make out what's in the distance. Then she reaches the ravine, which has a fallen tree trunk leading from one side to the other. She looks down below and sees all the writhing anacondas.
The mating ball.
Snakes swarm in the pit below. Jack knocks out Johnson.
Give me the flare.
As Gale gives Jack the torch, he snatches it from her and sticks it into the ground. Rummaging in his bag, he throws some rope to Gale, who stands with Cole.
Time up.
Now!
The grubby and grimy Gale and Cole edge backwards as Jack walks towards Sam, who's holding a torch, the quivering flames highlighting her wide eyes. Checking that Gale is indeed tying up Cole, he snatches the torch from Sam and picks up his rucksack, which he throws to her.
Fill it up.
You're gonna be kidding me.
Do I look like I'm kidding? Fill it up!
Inches away from her face with the gun, she nods sadly and puts the rucksack over her shoulders. With Cole and Gale watching anxiously on, she edges across the tree that lies across the pit, swarming with anacondas down below. The tree is covered with slippery vines. It gives way as she makes her way across. Kong can't bear to watch and puts his hands over his eyes.
Get up! Can I get the flowers?
As Sam collects the orchids, her feet disturb the soil, sending some of it plummeting into the swarming pond down below. One by one, she picks the deep red flowers, all the time being watched by Jack, who has his gun trained on her. Kong, open-mouthed, looks on as Cole tries to loose himself from the ropes. Having collected the flowers, she begins to crawl along the tree trunk once again. The tree gives way, hanging almost vertically. Sam is now holding on for dear life.
Throw me the pack.
She holds the bag out over the snakes.
Drop the gun!
Sam still holds the bag over the snakes, but Jack turns and fires a shot towards Gale and Cole.
Throw me the pack.
She throws the bag to the desperate Jack, but as she does so, she loses her grip on the tree. Johnson creeps up behind Jack and hits him, sending the bag flying.
Get up, Bill! Get up!
Jack hits Johnson, who crouches on the ground. Then he kicks him in the stomach. Jack hits Johnson again as he lies on the ground, his head over the edge of the swarming mass. Jack spots the rucksack.
Get up!
He throws Johnson aside and looks down to the precious bag below, which he begins to climb down to, little knowing there's a poisonous spider on it. Cole has got himself free.
Sam, come on!
Come on, Sam!
Jack's paralyzed on the ledge.
Wait for me! Come on, Sam! Please!
The rucksack falls into the ravine.
Give me your hand!
Jack falls into the swarming pit of hungry anacondas.
Come on!
Right here!
As Gale and Cole desperately reach for Sam, she falls off the slippery tree and down towards the seething mass. Her foot is caught in a vine, so she's suspended above the hungry snakes. A voracious anaconda rears its head.
No! No! No!
The tree falls and sends Sam plummeting down into the water that swarms with the huge, fat anacondas. She comes up for air, only to see Jack's horror-stricken face as he's strangled by a snake and then taken back down into the water. Sam tries to clamber up out of the pit.
Come on, Sam! Come on! Keep coming! Come on! Come on! Come on that log, Sam! Keep coming!
Johnson reaches out and pulls her up. Having pulled her to safety, the anaconda that was after Sam now looms above the others. They all back away from it. Gale scrambles for the petrol canister.
Hey! Over here, bitch!
Gale holds out the canister and the snake snatches it, swaying from left to right. As Gale falls backward, Johnson scrabbles in the dirt for Jack's gun. Johnson fires the gun, but nothing happens. The anaconda coils itself up, ready to pounce, pinning the group with its large dark eyes. Desperately, Cole reaches for the flare gun and fires it straight into the anaconda's mouth. With its mouth flaming, it falls back down into the pit, crashing into the others, and explodes. There's a violent fireball, sending snake carcass flying through the air, raining down on the group. Suddenly, the walls of the ravine cave in on the anacondas down below, taking the precious orchids down with them too. Cole, Johnson and Sam look over the edge of the ravine, surveying the devastation. Just when it appears safe, an anaconda wheels up out of the earth before a rock comes crashing down on it, pressing it to death.
Holy shit.
Mud and soil slides over what had once been a vibrant mass of fat, hungry anacondas.
Nice shot.
What can I say? I'm a bad man.
They all collapse on the edge of the ravine, Sam against Johnson and Gale and Cole next to each other. Kong calls excitedly from a branch. In crisp sunlight, the dense vegetation somehow seems a safer place, as the only snake-like presence is now the river on which the group travel. They sit on the raft with Cole rowing, Kong nestled snugly on Gale's shoulder, whilst Sam bandages Johnson's arm.
Ah, you feel like you made up.
He's not so bad. How's that?
Much better. I think I'll live.
Good. It's kind of nice having you around.
Johnson smiles coyly at Sam.
So, how much further to my bath?
Go to Peru, I'd say another day down river.
Whoa, another day? Oh, I'm not rowing another day, homeboy.
All right. Let's see, we got this shortcut right up.
No! No!
ITFC audio description written and voiced by Lloyd Wilde.